So today I'm going to speak about God in a box. You've got the right face. But of what? So I would like you to tell somebody else quickly, what do you think I'm going to speak about? What do you think that, where am I going with that? Just quickly. There's no right or wrong, whatever you would like. Okay, that was just for the fun. That's nothing to do with my sermon. No, I'm joking. I'm going to start, or before I start, our pastors, Dirk and Renee, are currently in South Africa. They're at our global conference, yearly conference. So they'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Next week, they are there for the pastor summit as well, where they just get a lot of input from senior leaders and they're having an awesome time and a blessed time just in God's presence, hearing what God wants for us as Shofar globally for the next year especially. So as I said, my name is Andre and I'm going to share today about God in a box. So first off, I'm going to start with a quote. I read this and it really just stuck with me. If you can completely understand your God, he's not worth worshipping. Do you agree with me? What do we worship? We worship a God that is bigger than us. I'm not going to worship Martin, although he is a good-looking guy. And is good with a guitar and drums and. But I can understand him. He's also a man. I'm not going to worship him. But my God needs to be bigger than what I can understand. You agree with me? Otherwise, yeah. So, I want to read for us Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. And it says, oh, I should have maybe made that a bit bigger. Can you see there? Okay, great. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. That is awesome. God is so much bigger than us. He is. His ways are what we can't understand. And oftentimes that challenges us. Because we want to put God in a box. We want to understand God. We're going to look at some examples now. Just where God basically breaks people's boxes. You know, God challenged us now, and I'll come to that a bit later. When he said we must do something, and suddenly you hear a lot of opinions of people. But it's only opinions. There's so few people that said, oh yes, I prayed about it. And this is what God says, or I agree with you, or not. But there's so many opinions about, no, you can't do that. That's a bit crazy. Or that's a bit radical. Or no, God won't say that. well said. Yeah, it doesn't fit in the rules. There must be a rule for it. Okay. So, I've put some examples down because what we teach people as well is when God tells you something, go and check it according to the Bible. You know, go and check if it's according to his word. And it's actually scary what God has done in the Bible already. God can tell you a lot of things that will freak you out that he has already done, that he has told people to do. Okay, so if we can go to the examples, I want to start off there with Abraham. in Genesis 12. Now, God basically there told him, listen, go into the desert and I will show you when you're there. So now, okay, nobody's sitting with their husbands or wives, but imagine you're sitting next to your husbands, next to your wives, and for those who aren't married, imagine you're telling this to your mom, and you're saying, no, mom, or wife, we are going, we are flying to Egypt, then we're going to a little town there, and we're going to wait on God. That's it. You take your children out of the school, you quit your job, you cancel all your policies, everything, and you go there. That's what Abraham did. He took his whole household into the desert. So if God tells you to do that, it's biblical. Noah, imagine that. It has never rained before. Up to that stage. And God tells you, listen, build a boat. And God gives him specific instructions how to build a boat. Because nobody probably built a boat. Well, nobody built a boat that big ever before. So now he's building this boat. It took him a freaking long time to build that boat. Imagine what the people around him said. The opinions. The laughter. Imagine what his mother-in-law said. Huh? Just think about it. So if God tells you to do it today, it's biblical. It's not crazy. It's normal. Noah did it. Okay. If we look at Moses in Exodus 3, this is where Moses ran away out of Egypt. Now he's looking after his new father's sheep. And God speaks to him and say, listen. Okay, that was a miracle as well. A burning bush that didn't burn out at all. And God spoke to him through that. And then God said to him, okay, you fled out of Egypt because you killed somebody. So they're probably going to kill you if you go back. But I'm telling you, go back and not just go in there by the back door. Go to Pharaoh, the guy that want to kill you. The guy who's in charge. The guy that you actually grew up with. He knows you're guilty. So now you must go to him and you must tell him to set the slaves free. What would go through my mind and your mind if God tells you that? Just practically now, in this day, any of that example so far, just think what we would go through. What would your reaction be? You're praying this morning and God tells you go into the desert or build a gigantic whatever boat these days. Or I don't know what would be very difficult these days. Or like Moses. Go to a place where you know you're going to get killed. What would your actions be for the day? What would you do first? All of us would say we would trust God and we would have faith and all that beautiful stuff that we're supposed to do. But it would be quite hectic. Do you agree with me? Quite a challenge. You phone everybody or nobody because you don't want to tell anybody, or you, if you have people that can pray with you, you tell them, but you're worried as well because they're probably going to just say you're crazy. So you just tell the people that's going to pray, not going to give you their opinions. And then still, you must just have faith in God. You must just trust God. But then to go through that, it's going to go like this the whole time. Because now God is saying, just trust me. Do that. And how does that look practically? How does that look when I'm going to my work? When I'm thinking about my child that's in school and where will she go to university? How will I provide for her? Where does this fit in to normal life? To my life? That's quite freaky, eh? Okay. Isaiah, I just put that in there because that's, I think, the most hectic one. God told him, go and marry a prostitute and have children with her. So it's biblical. We're laughing about it now. But this is examples of things that God has already done. I mean, the Bible is full of it. Just about every miracle is because God told somebody something crazy. Before he opened the Red Sea, there goes Moses, the entire Israelites, and everybody is angry at Moses because there's the sea, here's the Pharaoh coming to kill all of us, and then God opens the sea. He didn't tell him beforehand, listen, go there, I'm going to open the sea, don't worry, it's fine, don't stress, relax, just do it. God often, or a lot of times in the Bible, I think most of the times in the Bible, wanted to let us grow. He takes us out of our comfort zone. He takes us out of that place where it's touch, where it makes sense. And I had a few discussions in the last while, which was so sad for me, actually, where I ask a person, I understand what you're telling me, and I know it's good, solid stewardship. Yes, you must do this. But what if God tells you to do something else? And the guy said, no. This makes sense. He's a Christian. He follows God, but God won't tell him to do something that doesn't make sense to him, that is not in his box. And that, I don't know what to say to him. Because that, I still don't know what to say about it. But it's just, it breaks your heart a bit. Somebody that says they are Christian, but don't want to follow God. If we look in the Old Testament, the Pharisees, in one of my previous sermons, I spoke about the Pharisees, so I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. But those guys were obedient. They learned the law. They obeyed the rules. They were good Christians. The only problem is they didn't listen to Jesus. They didn't follow Jesus. And today I just feel God want to challenge us in that. Don't be a good Christian. Don't only do what you can understand. Trust God to lead you, to guide you. Get to that place. During worship, I just have had the image of us standing in front of God, like Adam and Eve before they sinned, naked and unashamed, just standing before God and not worrying about anything, trusting God completely to deal with everything else. I'm in God's presence, and God will lead me. God will not forsake me. That we come to that place. If we go to the next slide. If you are in a relationship with God, He will always stretch you to die more to yourself and rely more on Him. Basically what I mean there is when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we die to ourselves, we say, God, I choose to put my life down, to die to myself and accept you as my Savior. I will follow you, not according to my will, according to my way. And what is scary for me about this as well is this simple truth, that simple illustration of getting saved, of following Jesus, of accepting what He wants to do instead what I want to do, is the reason why so many churches, especially being in Utrecht now in the Netherlands, you hear about so many churches closing their doors. And I believe this is the main reason. There's a bunch of good Christians who is studying like the Pharisees and listen or look at the law and have good principle in their lives, everything. But the problem is they're not following Jesus. There's a big difference between doing everything the Bible tells us. Well, if you do everything the Bible tells you, you will follow Jesus. You will listen to Jesus. So, a bit contradictory. But it's important for us to always seek Jesus, to always ask Him, God, what is it you want me to do? And not what I heard is a good principle. Okay, so I'm not saying don't study the Bible. Come and we're starting with third year or our Bible school in January. We have a 3-year Bible school that we present. Come and do it. It's amazing. You learn so much about God. But don't just learn about God. Learn to be with God. Learn to follow God. Oops. If we can go to the next slide. There is a big difference between knowing God and understanding more of God. It's basically what I said now. I ran a bit in front of myself. So I want to share my testimony. We're almost done. So God said last year in May, 10th of May, Dirk and Renee, who's the pastors here, they came past all the shofar churches in South Africa and just shared, listen, God said they must plant a church in Utrecht, and they're just asking for us to pray with them. If God lays it on your heart to come and visit or to move over or to support or whatever, they just shared. But before they shared, they walked into a church. I was standing at the back right, and I just felt, yo, I want to support that couple. Didn't know them at all. And throughout that service, I was just, yo, God, is this you or me? Is it you or me? Is it you or me? And I went home and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to go to sleep. Tomorrow's work, but I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to sit outside. And I just want to hear, is it you or me? And God gave me specific scriptures why he's sending me to Utrecht. And that was on my wife's birthday. And the next weekend, they had an Awaken Women's Conference. So I first asked God, okay, God, please, this is a bit crazy. So just confirm it with her. And God said, no. He wants me to trust him in his leadership. So that's actually for me a bit more scary. If there's confirmation, it's... But okay, awesome. So I asked God, okay, just prepare a heart then. And it was so amazing. At that woman conference, God just told her the whole time, God will speak to me and see must just follow. So that Saturday evening, I asked her, so what did God say? And she shared, God said to follow, and I'm like, okay, we're going to Utrecht. So she's like, where's Utrecht? And I could show her, because I was also like, where's Utrecht? So I printed Google Maps and stuff. There's Utrecht. And I thought that was really challenging. And God said, just take a money belt. So we sold everything. And we came over here, and we live off that money that, well, we sold everything. But that challenged us a lot. You can imagine, that's pretty crazy. And about a week ago, our visa is running out in December. So I asked God, okay, God, I've been asking for the past 6 months already, what's the plans? But now would be a really good time if we have to apply for visas and stuff. So said, okay, set the day aside and just, again, God, I need to hear you. I need to hear what your plans. And God said, you must stay and I will provide for you. I'm like, nice. Thank you. But that is challenging. I thought last year was challenging. This was really challenging for me. And it's amazing to see how God is all providing at this stage. It's amazing to see how he's doing it. But it has been probably 2 weeks, actually, since I asked him. That has been quite interesting. Because God just says, have faith. I know the plans that I have for you. And it's to prosper you and not to harm you. So chill. I'm like, let's do that. And that's where this morning sermon comes from. Just being challenged by God outside of my normal box, outside of my comfort zone. And I realize God actually wants to do it with us the whole time. He wants to take us outside of our comfort zones, because then he can use you. That scripture where it says God is strong where we are weak. He can use us when we're not in our comfort zone. I'm just reminded now of a testimony, or just something one of our senior pastors shared. He had a guy come to him that struggled with addiction, and he prayed about it while this guy is sharing, and he said, okay, the Holy Spirit said, and he told it to the guy. Amazing guy, delivered, no problem with addiction, sorted. About a month later, somebody else came, same problem, and he's like, yeah, okay, cool. And he didn't pray about it because he knew the answer was. He dealt with this problem and he gave it. And as soon as he said it, the guy looked at him and said, I knew you were going to say that. And he walked away. Just looking at God the whole time. Seeking God the whole time. Not going according to set rules, set experiences. That will stay for me. Well, I heard it a long time ago, but it will stay for me for a long still. Hopefully ever, that I will never rely on my past experiences or what I know, how well I know the Bible, because that's also scary, if that's all I go on. But to really trust God and to ask God and to allow God to do what he wants to do in my life. I think that's one of the most challenging things. God gave us free will, and it's our choice if we want to allow God to do what he wants to do in our life. So I'm going to end off, and I'm just going to pray for us. Father, now thank you for the picture during worship, just of us standing in front of you, like Adam and Eve before they sinned, Father. And Father, today we just come and stand here, Father, and we lay everything down, Father. Our ideas, our thoughts, everything. We just become still now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you everything. Father, we say we want to follow you. Doesn't matter how uncomfortable, how challenging, how difficult it is, Father. We want to follow Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, to follow Jesus, we firstly have to hear God's voice. That is the important part. It's not somebody else hearing for us. It's us hearing God's voice. And that comes out of that relationship. Jesus came so that we can have a relationship with the Father again. We can be restored to the Father, it says, like Adam and Eve, that God walked with daily. So I want to invite you. Jesus went away and he said, listen, I'm going to go away, so I'm going to send a helper. In other words, we need help to follow God, to have a relationship with God. If you have never received the Holy Spirit, it's as simple as asking. Now, I would love to pray with you. The Holy Spirit helps you to have a relationship with God. It helps you to hear God's voice. I want to ask all of us to stand, please. And if you can just close your eyes quickly. If that is you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you have never received the Holy Spirit in your life, as all the eyes are closed, I want to ask you just to raise your hand quickly. I would love to pray with you. Okay, great, thanks. So then, to end off the sermon, we're going to hand out communion now. And I'm not going to lead us in taking the communion. I want you to just talk to God. I want you to thank Jesus for dying on the cross for you, that his body was broken, that his blood was shed. And to ask God, just take some time out, just sit and take some time out and ask God God, what do you want me to do? How do I follow you, God? I want to hear your voice. Whatever is laid on your heart,